Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Live podcast with Mike Harland. I am your co-host, Brian Brown. We are in the gorgeous B.B. McKinney Studios, the historic and majestic studios high atop the Lifeway Tower.
You know,
Music
we're on the
City.
Ninth floor.
Yes,
and
that's
it's
right.
A beautiful day, and, it, yep. and slowly summer is giving way to fall.
Slowly, yes.
Slowly.
Check local listings.
Slowly.
But yeah, yeah.
And there's just the leaves, little crisp in the air.
Had a little bit,
just
yeah.
Just the leaves.
A little bit this
just
morning.
Very little bit, but time moves on. And I am so excited because we're going to do part two.
With our special guest,
Stan Moser, who's still yeah. in the studio here with us. And what an amazing story. I hope we won't retell it all, but
right.
But go to ccmunited.com.
Yeah.
And become familiar with the resources there that Stan Moser helped capture the story of contemporary Christian music. And his book yeah. is called We Will Stand, and the DVD of the night of 40 years of Christian music, all the stuff. Yeah. It's just so much there. People ought to read that story. It'd be a blessing to you and encouragement to
totally
you.
Totally agree. And if you're listening to these things out of order, go back and listen to the first episode of our interview with Stan Moser. Get a little bit of Stan's background if you don't know it. I think that would be good for the conversation
yeah.
we're going to have today, part two.
Exactly.
Listen to part one first, and then we'll start part two. We teased part two a little bit last week, Mike, the Worship Life podcast, the first part with Stan Moser. So tell them a little bit about what we're going
right,
to talk about today.
So a guy like Stan Moser, who's signing Amy Grant, and who's helping Micah W. Smith get started and all that stuff back in the Word Record days
yes.
and Sparrow Records and all of that Stephen Curtis
Star
Chapman
Song.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Those obscure artists that he worked with. all of those
fringe artists.
A guy like that is going to be doing something all the time.
All the time.
He's not ever going to retire. So he's had a ministry called Kingdom Men,
yep.
where he's a men's ministry that was based out in Arizona. He's done... The guy makes golf clubs, by the way. That's another thing he does on the side. He's a great
yeah.
golfer and all those things. But Stan's energies and creativity around building platforms and expanding messages just continues to go on and on. He's a song guy.
Yeah.
He's a worship guy. He's a spiritual guy. He co-authored Seven Words of Worship with me. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty
good. And by the way, he's written other books
that we didn't even
talk about that.
Great
last
and
time.
Precious Promises for Singers and Musicians.
All
is
of
one
that.
Of my favorites
he's got
by
several
Stan.
Things that he has done. So he's working on something all the time.
Yeah.
He can't be on the golf course every day.
Well,
so for
Sue might disagree. But
well, yeah. But for the last couple of years, you've been working yeah. on this idea called Worship Underground.
Yeah.
So, Stan, we're talking about you. You look kind of embarrassed, you know, just because uh-huh. we're talking about you.
Oh, but please stop.
Please
don't stop. Please don't stop.
Yeah,
don't.
No. So what does the great marketing and sales mind of Mr. CCM, what have you been working on? And tell
well,
us about it.
I appreciate those compliments. As we mentioned before, my entire almost 50-year career now in Christian music is probably best described as I'm a platform builder. I build platforms and help those on the platform hopefully do what they do better and get heard by more people and in this day be seen by more people. It was in October of 2016, so approximately 3 years ago as we
yeah.
record this. I have a very good longtime friend named Jeff Mosley, who is the top independent
yeah.
Label guy probably in the history of Christian music.
Yeah,
he has a company
right.
called Fair Trade
yep.
Services, which is a lot of pretty famous people. I don't
yeah.
know. How about a song? I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah,
you know, things like
would,
that.
That's,
you,
that'd
that
be a
Jeff
good one.
Is, did fairly
yeah,
well.
That Jeff has been the label for. And so Jeff and I get together periodically and just have lunch or breakfast. And, you know, invariably I'll say, so what's the breakdown now between CDs, you know, for sales and downloads, percentages, and streaming? Because
mm-hmm.
of those three big categories we've had over the years, physical goods, you know, downloads and streaming. And in 2016, I had lunch with Jeff, and he said, well, you know, this year streaming is 62% and download is whatever. And,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
thought, I said, wow, 62% of revenues is streaming. He said it's going to go over 70 next year, 70%. And
yeah.
this was 2016. Of course, it's much larger than that now. And, I always say, well, that's interesting. Then the next day I get up and I've spent my early morning quiet time out on the deck as the sun's coming up with the Lord. And most people in their quiet time, they're anything but quiet. It's usually, help. I need help here.
Yeah.
I need help here.
Yeah.
But I've learned over the years to have a little conversation with the Lord and just kind of listen. So I laid it out for the Lord. I was thinking about that conversation, and I said, you know, Lord, I mean, you showed us how to, every technology that's come along, you've shown us how to use that to share your songs with your people that really need to hear them. And I started talking about, you know, 78s and 45s, and yeah. Boy, you had to be really old to know what that is.
Yeah.
LPs and then 8-tracks. Mike Harlan has several 8-tracks.
I don't have any 8-tracks.
He's listening to 8-tracks.
I got rid of all of them.
He's got an 8-track player in his car.
Yeah.
And you know, cassettes and so forth. And I said, so now streaming. I said, Lord, what do you want to do with streaming? And I just waited. And then it didn't take long, that inner voice. I wish I could hear him audibly. I haven't yet. And here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, I want you to build a streaming service that connects worship leaders with the next new and undiscovered song of worship. Mm-hmm. And I was like silent, stunned. I was like, build a streaming service? And so I started on a pathway to do that. Here we are 3 years later. It's wow. Now live. Mm-hmm. And it's called worshipunderground.com. As you can imagine, the journey that we've been through. Well, a couple of the first people I've talked to about this vision the Lord gave are sitting right here with me, and it's Brian and Mike. And I remember the meetings we had, and you guys were so encouraging. You said, oh, yeah, that'd be a really good idea. And I said, well, do you want to help me do it? Well, we're kind of busy. But the encouragement was so important to hear from my friends that, I mean, Lifeway Worship, and I'm talking about a streaming service that became called Worship Underground. But this is going to be a wonderful day. I'm going to out Brian Brown a little bit here.
Okay, bring it.
I'm going to put this on the record so that everybody will know the truth here. After about the second or third meeting, I was driving back from downtown out to my house with my meeting with you guys, and it just seemed like it wasn't going to work. There was something missing. And I remember driving. I was actually driving down Franklin Road, 8th Avenue, mm-hmm. going south because I wasn't in any hurry. I just wanted to kind of think and pray. And I was talking to the Lord, and I was saying, well, I'm doing everything I know to do, but I guess it's just not going to live. And my phone rang. And I was in Berry Hill.
Really?
On 8th Avenue, Brian.
Those who know Nashville know that area well.
And so evidently Brian had left work early, as usual,
after our meeting. When was this?
And he was driving. I guess he was driving home. And he said, hey, I've been thinking about it. I think that really will work, but it's got to have a great name. And I think you ought to call it Worship Underground.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the minute he said that, it was like it all sprang back to life. And I said, yes. And I don't know if you remember that conversation.
You know, I do.
I hate to hear that because you'll never let us forget it.
Yeah.
Well, I just, the whole concept that you were sharing with me, I was trying to think of a simple way to say it, Stan, but it is so true that there is, whether worship leaders know it or not, the way we hear songs is very, very controlled by really a small group of people.
Typically.
And so there's so much out there that is underground. That's the best way I need to describe
it. Well, you absolutely brought it to life. And I just also want to go on the record, Mike, I'm going to look at you and say, I do have in documentation from Brian that he's not claiming any rights to the name.
No royalties.
I would encourage you to have that.
We have the trademark.
I've exchanged it all for golf lessons.
Yeah,
for golf
lessons. Well, that hadn't helped either, so I don't know what that's
so
about.
So we began building Worship Underground, and the vision was pretty simple. If I would speak to anybody who's listening to this, I want you to kind of picture in your mind maybe two of the biggest songs that have impacted your life. For me, it would be like 10,000 Reasons Christ Alone. But pick a big song, whatever's a big song for you. Let me ask you two questions. Do you know what those songs have in common? And the answer is they have two things in common. Number one, they existed before you heard them.
Yeah, sure.
And number two, if leaders like you had not shared them with people, they never would have had the impact that God intended for them to have.
Totally agree.
In the lives of those people. Yeah. So that's the vision for Worship Underground. The short version is we want to use Worship Underground to move songs from obscurity to opportunity.
I love that.
So we're just a platform. But we want them to have the opportunity to be heard.
Yep.
And these are new and undiscovered songs. And It's the song. Everybody says, "Where do the songs come from?"
Yeah.
Well, it's real simple. We've got about 10 publishing partners. Lifeway is one that are all have their own channel, and so they can pick the songs that the. And again, as I told my friends at another publishing company, which I won't name.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, please understand, we don't want Chris Tomlin songs on here. He doesn't need.
Yeah.
This to be heard.
His are not underground.
They're not underground.
Or, not to correct you, but I would say Chris probably is a co-writer of something or might. He could wind up there.
That's possible.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
It would be a song that that you haven't heard from him.
Exactly.
But it might be from
not
him.
On his album.
Not
or
on
so
his
speak.
Album. Exactly.
But I'm using that as an example. There are many other great writers. We don't need a Matt Redman song on here because they're going to get hurt. But the point is, as I was saying to that friend of mine, I said, I want the songs that I know you've got in your desk drawer that you know have a greater impact, but you don't know how to get them heard.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're for. And by the way, if they become known, please remove them from the underground and make room for the other unknown songs. So that's it's very counter to the entire Christian music business.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. I love where this is headed, and I want to tell our listeners more. We're going to take a quick break, step aside for just a second. Coming back, we're going to find out more details about Worship Underground.
We wanted to tell you about something that you may not be aware of that we have here at Lifeway. It's called Lifeway OneSource. You can find it at lifeway.com/onesource. That's lifeway.com/one source. What this is a specialized service that we provide to churches where you can get the kinds of resources that churches often need, mostly those big ticket items that you may not be aware that we can help you with. Church buses, church baptistries, steeples, copiers, these large purchases that your church needs to make. What we've done is we've gone out and vetted all of the providers of these kinds of resources. We've partnered with people that we trust. Your church will pay less because if you order through Lifeway OneSource, your order is combined with all the ordering of other churches. And that kind of volume gets special discounts that we can provide through Lifeway OneSource. So if your church is looking at making one or more of these kinds of purchases, please visit lifeway.com/onesource. We'd love to help you out today.
All right, we're back with Stan Moser and Mike Harlan, and we're talking about Worship Underground, which was apparently inspired by Brian Brown. Tell us more about how Brian influenced all of the development.
Well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with all of this. I don't know what it is. You know, Stan said in the last podcast that we're going to rename this Worship Life with Brian Brown.
It's been kind of a quiet coup, but now it's time to make our move here.
Okay, I guess I'm moving out.
The problem is, since Brian is the one who gave me the name for Worship Underground, he's requiring that it be Worship Underground with Brian Brown.
There you go. So it's my first song lyric that ever got published.
We got to go change all of the URLs. It's going to
be ugly.
So seriously, Stan, tell us more. You were just getting into kind of how worship leaders can find these songs.
The songs are coming from top publishers who pick their unknown, the ones that they really believe in.
Yeah.
Like Lifeway has 10 songs on there right now on Worship Underground. And then they rotate them on and off depending on the response rate. And then we measure. When you go on when you become part of the underground, you can vote for songs, and every time you vote and every time you play a song, it actually registers electronically, and that allows songs to move to the top 10 charts and the top 25 charts and all the different charts.
So it's kind of organic the way these things.
Well, that's the whole point. The best way I can explain. Why Worship Underground, that branding makes sense, is that it really is a bit like the Underground Railroad from the Civil War days.
Hmm. Yeah.
There were a group of unknown, unseen people in the South that would find a way to smuggle slaves out of the South to Canada. And it's been documented that more than 30,000 slaves moved from obscurity, slavery, to opportunity.
Yeah.
And so what they did with that opportunity is up to them. But these people were the underground that helped smuggle people, real people out. Well, that's the whole idea here with the song, is to give platform to the song so that then they can do what God intends for them to do.
And I want to clarify a statement I made earlier, lest people misunderstand it. When I talked about, you know, the amount of songs that we get to hear through the traditional way is controlled by a handful of people, it's not to say anything bad about any of our publishing partner friends or ourselves either. There's just only so much opportunity in the traditional channels.
Yeah.
There's only so many slots. lots. Yeah. And so these guys have songs that they, all of these Christian publishers, they absolutely believe in as much as they believe in the ones that are out there. There's just not a way for those songs to find life.
That's right.
We all love song stories. And those songs that are some of the most impactful songs that you mentioned a couple minute ago, if you dug into the history of those songs, very often you would find that they came from obscurity.
Exactly.
And the nature, B-side
and
of an album
all they needed to have was just exposure.
Yeah.
And what Worship Underground is all about is giving exposure to songs that otherwise aren't getting that
they're
that
not
going to
be heard.
So I can imagine the wonderful joy on the day that you see some song that has this monster impact.
Oh, I can't wait.
That started its path on Worship Underground. That'll be a special day.
Yeah, and we literally just went live with worshipunderground.com last week.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's why it took me a while to get here to do this podcast because we wanted it to be live. And so if it's okay, I just encourage anybody listening, go to worshipunderground.com and check it out. That's what we call the sales site.
Yeah.
And then there's an opportunity where all you have to do is register for a free trial. Because of Brian Brown's heroic deed and naming it Worship Underground, if it's okay, we have set up a special free trial code.
Yeah.
So when you go to register for a free trial, it says coupon code. If you'll put Lifeway in the code, then you'll get a free 30-day premium trial.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And so
now, is that Lifeway?
Thanks for that.
Is that capitalized Lifeway or just all smaller case?
It's Lifeway no matter what you do to it.
No matter what you do.
As long as you spell it the
that's
right
good.
Way.
Everybody
in the room
spell Lifeway, you
if
get
you can
there.
Spell Lifeway,
so
it works.
Not case sensitive.
Just
that's
don't
great.
Hyphenate it.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. Exactly.
But Lifeway, and it would really be an honor to share the premium trial with the listeners of this, and then and I'm like Brian saying, please give us feedback, and so just email me info@worshipunderground.com and tell me what you think and what we could do better. The other thing that we did too to help you all out as leaders is that we also take the songs and where it's appropriate according to the content of the song, we categorize them into different channels that are categories.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a channel called Song One. Well, obviously, that's the category of songs that you might want to open your worship service with.
Yeah.
And then we have Communion channel, and we have a Christmas channel, and an Easter channel, and an
that's
intimate
great.
Worship channel.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, and we'll continue to create channels as we get a response from people that are using it, because we want to make your search for songs quicker, easier. It's not just finding the best new song, but it's finding the best new song that fits for what you need.
And as you build the Worship Underground community, as that community begins to build and grow, you'll also have rating system that will have top 10. Here's what the Worship Underground community, as people vote,
week's
top 10.
If nothing else, what we are becoming is a global vetting service for new songs. So if you go in there and you don't have much time, just listen to the top 10 because that top 10 is there because it's gained the most plays of all the songs during that period of time from everybody around the world. Ultimately, we'll add language channels, and so we're just getting started on building this because it's the underground is everywhere. So God provides, and that's what He's done all along, all the way from the name with Brian and did I mention that before?
You did mention that. I'm a little tired.
Your payments
about it.
On the way.
Exactly.
But it's been amazing to watch, and then the connection with the songs. I forgot to mention earlier. One of our channels is called Worship Collective. And it's where we try to capture songs from rising church movements.
That's what I was going to ask. Talk more about that.
Because God's always, out of the 12 top publishers, according to CCLI, top 12 publishers that are in the worship category, 7 of them are church movements.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you don't think about that. We're sitting in one right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Lifeway is a church movement.
Yes.
If you think about this, every movement makes a sound, even in nature.
That's good.
And so every movement of God has a sound. And so those expressions we call end up calling worship music, you know, and it becomes like a Vineyard and even Bethel and any place like that. Bethel's one of the more current ones. Hillsong.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They're all church movements that are actually making a sound. So what we're looking for is rising church movements, not a church that has one really good song. That's great. We have a place for you, too. But there are groups of churches, and I'm thinking about is Highland Church out of Alabama. I think they got 28 churches
now.
They
do.
And the songs are amazing.
Yeah, Church of the Highlands. So they've got a lot.
Church moves, they're maybe not ready for their own channel. They don't produce enough volume, but we want to make room for those. And so if anybody's plugged into there, I discovered one in New South Wales, Australia recently called City of Light.
Yes.
And it's an Anglican church that does contemporary worship. Now think about that. So we want to be an opportunity for songs that are stuck somewhere in obscurity to have an opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Stan, thank you for joining us today and the previous podcast as well, for sharing your story with our listeners, and particularly for Worship Underground that God birthed in your heart. And we're so grateful that churches have a new way now to find songs that they wouldn't have had any other way. And I just believe that God's raising up a new generation of songwriters. He's got a message he wants his church to hear. And we're praying that Worship Underground will be a huge part of delivering
Brian,
that message.
I want to share one of my songwriting tips that I give every time I teach songwriting anywhere. And Worship Underground is part of the solution here to this. But I always tell writers, don't focus your energies and efforts on getting your song heard. Focus your energies and efforts on making your song great.
That's good.
And your song being great is more important than your song being heard. And so the frustrating thing for a writer is like, I've written this great song and nobody's heard it.
Yeah.
Well, Worship Underground is an example of the kind of opportunity that is out there. In 2019, there are a lot of ways to get songs heard.
Yeah.
But here's a great place that over time, as leaders begin to experience Worship Underground, will grow in their confidence in what they'll find there. Yeah. It will be a community that will just take off, and you and I will remember the day that we talked to Stan Moser about the start.
Absolutely. Stan, give them the email where they can email you.
Just if you want info at worshipunderground.com.
That's great.
And I didn't mention it, but also we have an indie writer channel, indie premiere channel. So if others have songs that they want to bring in, there's an opportunity to do that too.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, you can email Stan there, and you can email us, of course, at worship@lifeway.com. Tell us how we can pray for you and your ministry. We'd love if you have any questions about Worship Underground. You can funnel them through us as well, and we'll get them to Stan into his ministry. Also, join us at the worshiplife.com blog site, where you can read all of the blogs and you can enter into discussions about worship and music ministry. Don't forget about social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the places where you want to talk about worship. We're there, and Lifeway Worship can interact with you there as well. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan, and we'll be back together to talk about worship and music ministry again very soon.